order, I guess I will conduct. And,
regular meeting for the planning.
Guys, can you hear us all right?
Tuesday, January 25th, 2016.
Okay. We got Dennis on. Everybody's happy. All right. That sounds, that's good. So I'd like to welcome you all out to a meeting about the flood zone.
And
the flood plain and what?
Stream.
And stream. We'd like to welcome you all out to this. We're grateful you joined us here on this Tuesday evening. And we can go ahead and get started with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's go ahead and come. Can you read us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
And I'll offer it in the case. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our dear Father in heaven, we ask that thou would bless us as we come together this day, that we may have thy spirit to be with us. We ask that thou would bless us, that we may have the spirit of humility, and that we may be able to see to other people's points of view as we discuss these matters of the floodplain and any change. We ask that thou would bless us, that we may be able to come to the conclusion with best fit our town going forward and for things that may be unseen in the future. We ask that thou would bless us through that spirit, and we say this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Okay. So, according to the agenda, we are going to discuss the review of the public hearing on flood zone and possible recommendations to town council. Where would I just start on that? Just go ahead and pull up one of these items here, Amanda. Out of everybody, I'm the only one that wasn't there that night, so.
Yeah.
Everybody else was sick, it looks like. We're grateful everyone here is healthy and we'll just say, you all say that way.
Yeah. And when this session here with us tonight, as a popular owner, when it will be that public hearing, I invite you to come tonight, London and Mel, to review the public hearing tonight. So.
So, what was concluded in that public hearing? Do you want me to read the minutes out loud? Would that be the best way to go? Amanda, do you think? Okay, so it looks like Adam Peterson began the meeting with an explanation of how the meeting will go. He continued by stating the town hall had received counsel from the regional planner with Six County Association of Governments to review our flood zone and look at the risks associated with development in those areas. Mike continued by explaining it was brought to the town council's attention when flooding happened recently in Southern Utah. What the town would do is that word that would be in our community, and that the town could be liable for damages. Public input received with the general consensus that property owners' rights would be infringed on if we proceed with the restriction on development. The commitment is received that the town cannot prohibit property owners from doing what they want. The public recommends that flood zone maps be reevaluated. That explains the flooding that has happened in the past. Adam indicated the town's position is the infrastructure damages the town should inherit. That continues by explaining that a town, in order to govern, does set limitations on what you can do with your own property, which is why we have a public hearing. Public questions who is responsible for maintaining the creek. They feel like you can't stop someone from building on their property if they obtain the required permit. Anderson states facts of the flood of 83 in reference to floods in 1988. He reiterated the town's position. The public also expressed concern about what it would do to property value and taxes. The commission would like to find out what the cost would be to have FEMA reevaluate the flood area. Additional comment received about culverts for storm drains needing to be assessed. Public input would be taken under advisement. Okay, so the purpose of tonight's meeting is to comment, to gain more input on this discussion that was had 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and it's kind of making the decision if they want to do a recommendation to the council to act on imposing a restriction in the flood zone on the park development.
I understand the argument that people want to be able to do whatever they want with their land. I can definitely appreciate that. I think the town's response is, well, if we're going to inherit liability and streets and stuff, then we do have the right to say, no, we can't deal with certain infrastructure in these areas, correct? And is the purpose of tonight's council to just explore further the areas we want or we want to add in certain areas to the floodplain that would restrict building, or what is it we want to do?
So, my understanding is to take a look at the floodplain where it exists and talking with Amanda, it sounds like there's two designated, FEMA has designated two areas.
Mm-hmm.
One would be down along the creek, and the other would be the old white holiday coming out of the stock field. And we don't have a lot of control over what's designated as floodplain. FEMA has way more power than we do. It sounds like we should actually hire engineers and try to argue the case, but I think it would be hard because within all of our lifetime the creek has flooded, and well within memory there have been times when it's flooded out of the south field. But I think we'd have a hard time spending thousands of dollars and changing people's minds. I don't think it would happen.
I can agree with
that. The thing about it is you have to change FEMA's model.
Yeah.
Because when the floods occurred over here in 83 and 84, it was FEMA that came in and put the creek back in the channel, and then I was out of member of the town board of them, but then you can't considerable amount of money they would have had because they have big track holes go up along the creek and all of the debris along the creek, all of them from the bridge here on up and on down to the other bridge, all that was dug out of the creek. To bring this creep back into the channel.
Right. So where was it? This is just more out of curiosity. So had no intervention been taking place, that natural channel would have changed.
It was up in the middle of that Arbor Road complex.
That was pretty close to the park, and then actually what happens is the cement ditch, it goes along the high series and the park.
Yeah.
And it caught the water in that cement ditch and funneled it down to the highway, and it would have changed a whole lot of the channel from where it exists over to right by the park too.
Uh-huh.
I don't know the legality of it, but a fairness is way in my mind to look at it would be if a person wants to build within the floodplain, they're not going to get along unless they get flooded from it. And that's the responsibility. it seems fair to me, like, if somebody wants to do that, that they sign the agreement with the town and it becomes part of the zoning building permit, or they take all responsibility of any damage that happens to the property.
Well, let's say there's a couple homes, a couple different lots, somebody were invited to, like, say, three parcels, and say they wanted to each to build up there. Would we allow them to build a road if that's a private road? They will keep and maintain that road, the city isn't going to have anything to do with it. Or, you know what I mean? I'm kind of thinking of like the extreme of the situation here. Or we limit it to, we're not going to allow any roads. If you want to build a house, you can have a driveway from one of the roads that are existing. That I think one of the biggest concerns of people on the town council is, we really don't want to take responsibility of any infrastructure of any kind. So we're pretty safe. We're not worried about somebody else's house. They've got to get flood insurance. There's the road systems and things like that, but a road can get washed away pretty quickly.
Yeah, we got both in town. The subdivision was, they built the roads, and then when the subdivision was completed, they turned them over to the town, and the town assumed ownership and responsibility for maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
Up by me, they call me, that's just a private driveway.
Right.
I'm curious if the students would do the same thing.
So let's say if somebody were to build a private driveway or a private road in these areas, could we still have any restrictions over that? Like, well, according to the town code, our roads have to be 40 feet wide.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's a private road, we can maintain restrictions like that.
You can't have private roads. You have to allow for service like fire protection and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So there would have to be, if they had a road up there, in other words, if they, you'd have to have a certain width of it to provide for fire engines and stuff like that.
And there'd be kind of two different kinds that somebody was building, say, over close to certainly in what they can all say. If they're just building a house 30 feet off of that highway, they're only going to have, you know, just a little short driveway compared to a couple up where I live. Their driveway is probably 2 blocks long. And we, you know, we, as they get a zoning permit, they, we can make those rules, stipulations that they have to agree to.
What exactly is our current zoning restrictions as far as the floodplain? Is there any restriction at all?
I don't know if you would.
I don't think we have a very nice flood ordinance, and you'll have that knowledge. In Florida, it does become the mayor as the floodplain administrator, and the one that would want to build. They would have to submit their zoning permit application, their grant, and then it would be identified during the floodplain. You would then submit that over to the mayor as a floodplain administrator, who would have to review it and make sure that it matches all of the requirements in our team. We adopted the FEMA floodplain map, which is a really current standard.
So right now, the standard that they have to meet is that they get flood insurance, and that's really about it.
Yeah, there's something about
if they got, wait a minute on that, if they got a loan, they'd have to have flood insurance, the lender wouldn't do it. Or if they just paid back from the loan, I'll just take the responsibility, and then it would just be their responsibility, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you say ten times, but it seems to me like, go ahead, Ben.
You guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, so my concern is when the individual friends lead the way in making choices, because as we all know, the property turns over by rather than by the people, and maybe the parents will. Or
It's fine. My hair is even fresh, but I think that's a good point.
Mostly been talking just about the extreme scenarios of what could happen, and so I mean, as far as your proposal of getting ahead of it, Dennis, what would you think the best course of action to take at this point? Okay. I can agree with that. I think we did need
to
there might be some people from the land use to help us, but I think we need to know what we legally can do.
Right. Yeah, I mean, can we legally say we're not going to allow any type of building, let alone give any good building permit in R1?
Yeah. Wow. I don't know that answer, but I thought we need to know.
Yeah, I agree.
That would be a hard. It would be a hard thing to put out there, but it would be an easy thing to manage.
Well, that's an easy line to draw.
I mean, honestly,
I think, you know, some of the areas that help to kind of define the style of living and the habitat and everything we have here in this town is those areas in the floodplain. And being able to maintain the look and the feel of that could be an important thing to the town, but then on the other hand, there's the issue of restricting people from doing what they want to do on their own land. So I think there's a fine line to walk there, isn't there?
Yeah, and then I think there's a really good example of that. You know, on one side of the village where one degree lives, you can build a house. You go on the east side of the road where they might stop you, you can build a house. And, you know, from this, I'm, you know, speaking for them, but from his viewpoint, that's the right thing.
Yeah. And then when the flood is across the bottom, they are going to be lost too. And
go ahead, Dan.
I think you have more to do to provide that. Not what could happen because many of us know what could happen in the courtroom, and you know that very thing allows me that family. I understand what could happen and I saw what could happen, and we want that to happen again. I mean, if that rather simple home back in 83
I think that's a very good point made.
So doing that with an immigrant elderly, I think that is really, I mean, the guide our way on how we can do it.
Yeah. There is also another question that is posed in the minutes, is who's responsible for the water and how, and maintaining that. And I assume that was keeping it in the channel, or does anybody remember exactly what the question was? Yeah, I was referencing, let's see. Yeah, who's responsible for maintaining the creek? Which of them?
Technically, you can't, the lawyer wanted the version, you can't, my understanding is, you cannot bring in channels, nothing.
Yeah.
People down below have a right to say what can or can't be done. But Jonathan would be, I would think, with that. Now, I might, but you really can't, that creep, and that was one of the problems we had in 83, is that the creep was straightened out where it shouldn't have been.
As I was going to say, like, I know a lot of people, if somebody that owned land and bought a 6 mile, put blame on they want the Gunnison Irrigation Company to pay for damage to their land from a flood back in 2011. And my dad said, we only have the right to use the water. We're not responsible for flood damages here. The reality is who's responsible, and that's Mother Nature to a certain degree. You know what I mean? That there's certain things that are just out of man's control. I mean, that's what I would say.
I would expect, one of the, of course, a lot of the trees do not even change, but the trees and stuff that go along the creek and fall into it, and the problem is that there's a property on it. We don't own that land.
It's a very loaded question. There's certain things, let's say, if you go and build something that has the potential to divert water away from the creek during the flood and into somebody else's property, that could be your problem. If that's on your land, and in that way, but on the other hand, if the creek bringing down a ton of debris from a canyon, rocks and gravel, fills up that river channel and it naturally diverts somewhere else, well, that's not somebody's responsibility or liability to stop that. So go ahead, Dan.
One of the things I found interesting was in that meeting when Gary brought up what happened, I think it was the old meeting, where the new structures have displaced the water to a higher level, and those people became liable for flooding properties that were already established before there was construction. And that's something else that falls into this whole program. As the building takes play, they start to display the water into new areas.
Yeah.
And actually the flood zone would increase in size. And I think that's what we need to do. I think Gary and you really can quantify bringing that up.
Yeah. Yeah, the reality is anything built in the flood zone has the potential to redirect things and change the natural course of things for the better or the worse. So, man, it is a really tricky thing for sure. I mean, even the bridge by the park, you could potentially play a role in diverting the water where it naturally wouldn't have gone during the flood.
Well, it is
that far. Right. Yeah.
They had to turn it out.
Yeah.
We replaced the bridge that was put by, and then we, so the bridge is about 4 to 5 feet higher than what it ever was.
Mm-hmm.
So
You know, they stand and say,
that's one small thing along that river channel that played a role. And the reality is, the more things we introduce to that floodplain and everything, the more potential it is for disaster to be man-made or you know, a role in that. And so that's definitely something to consider too.
Who is responsible for the bridge during that flood? Because it's a town bridge, correct?
Yeah.
So is the town liable for that bridge? Or the team would take over?
So are you saying, like, if somebody built a home just to the north of the park there, and if something were to happen and that bridge caused an obstruction, some trees came down the stream, that bridge stopped it, and then there's, at that point, the water overflowed over the road and into somebody's house that built over there, would the town be liable? Is that kind of where you're getting?
No, I'm looking at it first from a history point of view.
Okay.
But I was going towards that.
Okay. It was the town's bridge and the town tore it
down. The town tore it down. Yeah. Okay.
A situation similar was in St. George when a flood is down the Virgin River and took the house along the, what would that be, the north side of the Virgin River. And my memory of that is that the property owners were responsible for their own houses and the damage that happened, but didn't incur any damages for what happened downstream from them. I don't know how. But it's just kind of similar.
If that bridge was the town's responsibility, any damage caused by that bridge, I would think, would go back on the town. I think the same thing would happen if to someone that built something. I mean, it could work for the town, it could work for someone else.
Looks like we're trying to down to two questions, though, is what maybe the people would do,
right,
and what kind of liability
to the town
incurred
for
me
to
be friends. Well, the town owns that bridge now, so that was very one to cut it in. We raised this way up to where we thought it would be way out and never,
yeah.
But the town paid for it.
Yeah.
The town paid for it.
It looks to me like we're down to those two questions.
Yeah.
I've got a question back on what can you do to tend and limit building in a floodplain? If we do, do we incur any liability legally, lawsuits and things like that, for not letting people build on their property?
There's either argument there that we're destroying the value of the land.
Mm-hmm. I mean, legally, can they sue us and say, well, you won't let me build on my land, therefore,
right,
you know, you're going to buy it from me?
Yeah.
And I can see that happen very easily. Because people are going to be real unhappy if you say, well, you can't build it.
Is that something very important?
And that's something I think is really, really important.
Okay.
People that own land down in that area do not want to be restricted.
No.
That was the deal.
No, it's my land.
the commission between the rock and the mud flood, it's quite a day.
I like Jennifer's suggestion. I mean, do a little more research, get a little deeper before any decisions are questioned.
Well, we need to find out is how we can best protect the town, put in all the restrictions, the requirements that would leave us completely not liable for anything happening. Does that seem about right, Dennis? That's kind of a common sense.
Yeah.
This is why no house will go there, right? Liability to homeowners to make sure we're protecting them and future homeowners so that somebody that buys a house doesn't get put in that position they didn't come to. Does that seem about right?
Yeah.
Those three things?
One thing that I think we pretty well started doing is when there may be conditions or variances, we need to make sure they're recorded with the county. Then they become part of the title and now to protect the next owner to some extent.
I think that would be a good idea. I think we ought to for a next door when we make a policy, land use policy, that if legally defensive and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we just.
We've always kept track of the variances and stuff, but the recording it, I think, is a good next step.
Yeah. How do we go about doing that, and who makes the. Who works with the county on getting that recorded?
That would be some of the banking jobs.
Okay.
Yeah. And the variances we've done a lot of them are very recorded.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's not a difficult thing to do. Okay.
And then they become part of the title. And when they do the title, search that will go right up.
as Moses.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
Moses asked that question to make sure it's not something I was supposed to be doing. I didn't realize it was something like that. Yeah.
When you talk about a new owner, that is the title, the county coming in that sort on the final third.
Then you want to go into a garage open.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about a real estate company. The liabilities on them. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
And the question, the hypothetical, if we're saying that if someone builds a road, it has to be done to town spec, is that true?
Yeah, within some parameters, yeah.
Okay, once it's built to our specification, can you be legally liable if something happens to that road?
Only
if we take ownership of it. So that would probably be something we would look at as a restriction. Is any road that is built in the floodplain area, they can know ahead of beforehand that we do not have any plans and will not take ownership of that road. Mm-hmm. Like that's something we can do.
That would be a condition.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, what if the road affected the question?
I think it would be, well, we're trying to do make sure it's their responsibility.
Yeah, because if we don't own it, then it's not our reason. But I wonder if there's something we should look at too, as far as who do we have sign off the road, because we don't want some engineer after some catastrophic event to look at where a road is built or a structure or something and say, well, yeah, I'm not surprised, you know, of course in the case of a flood, that's going to direct all the water this way or something. I wonder if we could have a condition that some type of engineer signs off on what somebody's trying to do.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea.
So what do we even call that?
I think it's
specifying that nothing can be built that puts liability on the town.
I think what you have to have is an engineer would have to dry out and say, here's where the water is going to go, and say where it's not
safe.
Mm-hmm. Then I think that if there's a problem, it's all that for the engineer.
I think guys would be more informed
make sure that you know the road when they went north, this is a great shopping site now. This would be a great time to when you talk about people's buildings, you talk about fire, all the things you now or in order to later on after that.
That's true. Having talked about sewers.
Sewer, water line.
That would be the perfect design for
probably would be a bad idea to get going on a master plan for putting sewer system into this.
Mayfield is pretty well built out. The city center blocks and so forth are still a little room here and there. But it's pretty well built out. So the expansion of Mayfield is going to, we're going to be dealing with flood plains and so forth. We understand all the time. Yeah.
And it's not real current. And there is somewhere, briefly, at one point we did have a sewer system that in a, and I don't know, I guess where the Kim that included the lateral and stuff. I know the pond was down pretty much towards the level.
No, I thought that in one of the meetings it was brought up that they would rather have small towns stay on septic system rather than the sewer system.
They don't.
Really? I thought that, okay.
There's way more chance of groundwater contamination with the
sewer. Oh, I would think so. Yeah, I would definitely think so.
One they backed off of it at one point is they said you will have a sewer system by a certain set of days. And the federal government backed off of that, but now they finally want the sewer system. Well, not on the agenda, but there's a couple other issues that we started to consider and have a completion. One of them is there are three major zones that we can use. One of them is R20001, and the other is R120,000, the other is R320,000. Right? And then there's the commercial, but the rural commercial is quite like it. That's like, where the town boundary is going out to the Southfield, up the main road, and following the stroke Jennison Road, Man Side of the town boundary is our commercial area. Right now, we're using the R220,000, which we talked a lot about changing to R1. And the big difference to that is whether it's single family home or whether it's multiple family homes. And we've kind of let that drop in a future meeting, that ought to be a topic. One question I did a whole bunch of teachers. And right now, technically, most Austin towns do not allow the teachers. But I think it's part of Mayfield, the still rural area. We want people to be able to do that. I think we really ought to look at that. And that might be one of the other committee issues that can happen. I think that there ought to be a limit on that. We don't want 500 cans underground. Dan and I lived in the house where the neighbor's roof was right outside our bedroom window. We didn't like that very much. But I think we ought to address kitchens, and we need to address storage containers.
I think so too. I think that there should be a block on the town.
Cottage and storage containers and supporting units accessory buildings. I think we ought to have a big discussion and decide what to do with storage containers. And that would be the season that I would suggest we put those on our list and our next meeting we discuss those items.
The closures of the training, can we step by the next day more things that could manage? And then we can go on
to the next day. Yeah, and then Jay said those minutes earlier.
Yeah. And that was by November
make a motion to accept the minutes for September 22nd. Do we need an individual motion for the two, or can we accept them both at the same time?
I need individual.
Okay. September 22nd, 2021 at 6 o'clock p.m.
Do you have a second?
Okay. All those in favor to accept the minutes for September 22nd? Aye. Okay, I'll make the motion to accept the minutes for November 22nd, 2001 at 6 o'clock p.m.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. On to the training.
What is the situation that I was just before this?
Oh, I think we got a building permit. The only one we use for a lot is the small town, which is the right hand.
Well, that sounds better.
They said you got a zoning permit yesterday.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So what are you doing? It's in the city of it, it's not off the...
Right.
Is he going to build, or is he selling that lot right now?
He's building.
Oh, he's going to build, right. And then is that for him, or is he going to sell the house?
Is that the, that is the area where all that dirt was dug, was the field?
I believe so.
Okay.
So, anyway, yeah, he's got in his plans and stuff, and got his own permit yesterday.
Yeah. Does that zoning permit include a right-of-way, if we talked about putting that road on the, if you were to build out into that field behind that lot, there was, we talked about doing a road to the east side of that lot. Or, and we also talked about a road being on the west side. So what was the side of it?
So the way out of the lot was it more to the west, and then the lot on the east.
Okay. Yeah.
So the east side of 100 and some feet to the east of the property.
To the east of it,
yeah.
So that would put it a lot close to Roy Anderson's old home.
Absolutely. It would be the last of the place.
Yeah, I agree.
Can you see that again?
Okay.
I'm glad that got called that way.
We'll spend a lot of time, but these are some of the highlights from the conference I went to. And this is probably the thing they emphasize most. But land use is to protect your neighbors. Land use isn't for you. Land use is to protect you from what other people can do to you. I'm just going to show these. If you have any questions or discussions, you can look at them. These are the different stabilizations that can help us. You know, investment is kind of between, like if we didn't work things out with money, the investment is kind of a mediator that would have stepped in and helped him negotiate with us. And maybe it seems like chairman of the domain, but advisory, it's not legal advisory. Most of the time, it's the property owners that ask if you invest, nothing else. And then there's a couple websites there. There's the Utah Land Use Institute. That sponsors the conference that I went to, and I think is about where the one in this week was from.
Yeah.
And then there's the Luau, which is the Land Use Academy, and they know about it.
Sorry, everybody probably knows this, but what is Hope Ombudsman? Is that an organization?
Yeah, and I'm not, it may be more than one person, it's sort of just like a couple of people within the state government.
Okay.
So, it's sort of specialist in that area.
More of a state entity.
Yeah.
Ombudsman is a civil office.
Okay.
Is it in the news, it's been used it all the time, I'm not sure they've used it much on the web.
Okay.
But there's a way for a property owner to fight the town a little bit.
Yeah, gotcha.
See, this man Ryan, he talks a whole lot about there, her phone number, and she might actually be just so surprised with her question. And Doug talked about it just a minute ago. Whenever we do anything, make an ordinance or a ruling, it needs to be based on evidence and it needs to be legal.
Mm-hmm.
I was really careful about that. Follow the ordinances. And we use legal counsel with Richard Chamberlain and then we talked about the trying to keep us out of trouble. And I thought, I feel a lot of merit. I mean, that was a compliment on me. I think it was more than just the wine. And it's kind of what he was talking about. The things we talk about need to be summarized into the merit. Not just the planning commission merit for an hour and a half and talk about that. Now, this is what we're talking about. Conditional uses. It's not an opportunity to consider if it's for the right of the track of the zone. And usually we should propose the conditions to the property owners and also propose conditions that are actually done in the negotiation. And this should be used to mitigate that impact. And obviously, you don't have to make a decision based on who's asking for it. If we make a ruling, or I send down a zoning permit, or something like that, that actually can be a legal issue, and it can be appealed to the court. And they're talking about some stuff around Park City. The term that I held out for like 5 years going through the legal system. And if the public doesn't like what we do, they can get it put on the ballot. It's not all that hard to do.
Mm-hmm. And that's what caused that meeting over that last third bonding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That third bonding.
Yeah. And then it talks about aesthetic control. And being able to say it has to be this shape, size, color, you can have any kind of visual, that's really limited anymore. I'm not sure that's how that affects the homeowners association, but so the county starts putting in very many real conditions, you can't do it. And they said if you're trying to do something nobody else is doing, most likely you can't. We talked about the accessory units before that new law last year. And what that basically means is that if somebody wants to build an apartment within their own house, they may. So we really can't stop them from doing that. The one thing that it does say is that the owner of the property has to be residing in the home so it doesn't just become an apartment building. So if they wanted to rent out a basement, you can do that if you want to. Then there's also an accessory buildings that are outside of the house, and the best description of that would be where Jane James lives, where they have the little house for her place. And right now that's not part of law, but they expect that will happen in this legislation.
What will happen?
Is that people may build these little outside buildings.
They're called the mother-in-law buildings. There can't be any restrictions on that.
Right now they can, but it looks like probably not. Now, within reason, I think that we're still be able to, certain building materials and
you can't just build a straight up apartment complex back there.
No.
Because you have a 2-acre lot.
Right.
So
it doesn't take all the rights to get down the lake. And then it talks about the general plan. in our discussion tonight, it looks like we really need to add a section for general plan dealing with floodplains. Then just in kind of structure, the biggest development we've ever had in Asia would be the subdivision. And the way the flow of that is just a principle this committee first, and then from this committee then it goes to the town board. The initial work we've done with the town board is right here. And I thought, I'm not sure we've always done this, and in an annexation, only an adjacent landowner or a property land on a property owner who's negatively affected really gets to have any say on the annexation. Now, I think it's a wise thing for the town to listen to everybody, but the only people who have to be included would be the person asking for the annexation, adjacent landowner, and then maybe if I find some way of having an impact. And Amanda, I don't know how many got
this.
And what was the problem?
They were just giving them, handing them out over there.
What it does is just trying to take in different cases in Utah and how that has been determined when that becomes so legal system we have to work with. This excessive service district, the one I'm mostly aware of, would be the Central Utah project. And the only reason I know that is because it's on my tax notes, and it goes up every year, and I have no idea what we'll do with it.
Yep. Kind of a bottom layer
for something, and that would be different.
Anyway, that's the excessive service district we got started. Interestingly enough, there's 248 towns, 29 counties, and there's over 400 special service districts in Utah. And they do have to follow local ordinances. One thing that I did wonder, and I don't have any ideas, good or bad or ugly, is that at the point where we did do a sewer system, that could become a special service district. And I don't have any idea what the wonder that I have. These are just some various ideas. When you think of 50,000 people a year, that's a lot of people. Planning and zoning are not the same thing. Planning is the general plan that we work under, and zoning are the specifics that are within that plan. And most things are okay, but that's just in my backyard. No, they don't like it. And I didn't know that. They said the roots of zoning were actually racial. Is that they were putting in 16 poor people and racial minorities out of a certain part of town. They made the rules so that they couldn't ever meet the rules to live there. And they said the states are just out of control, cities are just state control, and landowners can resist city control. It looks like I have a misspelled word on the first one. That's another thing that, I don't know if that was the town board or if that was planning, is there some cities that are moving away from the second taxi to a percentage taxi. Thinking that for a young family starting out and they build a $200,000 home, they're paying the same impact fee as somebody who built a $900,000 home. And so the country people are moving to a percentage fee instead of a tax fee.
Based off of square footage or something like that, or just like a type what you based on off of.
I think they were basing it on, I think it was by the
How do you get that though? Like, because if you get to set your fees before someone, or when do you assign those impact fees? Is it before someone gets their license to build a home, or is it after the home is complete?
It's before. So
I think
something that came up that I thought
I was hanging out and reading. That's interesting. Yeah. And it's legal to do. You don't have any issues legally to do that.
No, other than you have to follow the same sort of impact fee rules.
So you can do, like, say, a part that has to do with the overall lot size, possibly, and then the second part of the square footage of the home.
Absolutely.
As long as you follow that across the board,
yeah,
everybody, you're good.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But those fees, and that, I said I was teaching, but when they first started those impact fees, I was doing that, and that, those fees were not to be excessive. They were, all those fees were supposed to be justified.
Right.
You can't just say, we're going to set a big impact fee to keep people out of here.
Right.
What you put down there has to be justified.
But I think it also kind of makes sense if you were to do some of your impact fee based off of your lot size. Let's say someone's got a 2-acre lot, they're going to end up using a lot of water for their well to water their lawn and whatever they've got planned, and well, that's just going to increase our need for developing more wells or things like that. And same thing with, well, if you got a 7-bedroom home, you're probably going to use more water too. So you're having a greater impact on our need to build out our infrastructure than somebody that just builds a small 2-bedroom home.
And then I look like I got another wrong word, but it's not actually a bad word. You're aware of the unintended consequences. So close to unintended. And I think that's what Aaron was talking about when he starts into sewer and some of those things. You know, you got to look at the worst case scenario.
Yeah.
The easy one is going to screw you up with that. 100-year
one. Yeah. So going back to impact fees a little bit to what you said, Doug, how do we assess? So we talked about raising our impact fees, and it's like, well, we're going to have studies to do that. You know, our impact fees do have to be based off of something. We can't just be like, well, this would be nice if we brought in this amount of money. Have you worked with that in the past as far as like assessing the impact fees? And
I would come up with,
well,
I don't want to on that.
Based on what you're doing is you're saying, okay, we've got water pipes in the ground, we've got roads that we built, and we've already paid for that. To be part of our community, we need to buy into our infrastructure. And so there's supposed to be a justification between those, and we don't have those infrastructure type things, and that's a buy-in of what's already built. And it's supposed to then be designated, most of it comes from the water system,
mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be designated, and then go back into the water system.
Yeah.
And the road is the other part, and that part of the impact is supposed to go back into maintaining the road.
And you can go all the way from the water system to the car and all those kind of things, but it all has to be, it can't be used as a weapon.
Right, yeah. I completely agree. And, you know, that's just a tricky thing. Like, well, how do we come up with a good, fair number that it is reasonable, but also is going to not put a burden on everybody that's probably been living here?
When I really think about some of the surrounding towns that are costing $15,000, I think, I kind of bite my tongue about it. I mean, that seems unfair. That's a lot of money.
It is, but it's not
a dream. And maybe that's the opposite of the justice.
Well, but also the reality is for us to bring in many more homes, we have to do a lot of water exploration, build new facilities, tanking, and things like that. Those things are big, require a big investment. And that's what I'm saying. I don't know the answer.
Well, but if you keep track, you know we have funds set aside from impact fees to do it, and that's the main thing. You've got to keep track of it. You've got to keep track of your impact fees and the different funds that they go into, the way that I understand it. It's got to be very transparent.
Yep. And then there's always the question about is it fair? This is one I really didn't understand so much. We kind of did it. But when it comes to development, the planning commission can negotiate with the developer to come up with the final zoning, the final impact fee, all those kinds of things. Roads, sidewalks, and in the end we kind of did that, but it becomes an administrative thing. It's not really, it doesn't go through the town board to be voted on, not a legislation.
As far as, so, being that you can adjust the impact fees legally based on square footage or, you know, value on different criteria, are there other conditions that you can base impact fees on as well?
Well, if we had to do it, that would be one of them. I think it's anything infrastructure wise, the way I remember it.
Okay.
When you do those negotiations, if you're doing this again public, you do not the secret behind closed doors. Actually, when they first started the subdivision, one of the things that we negotiated and got out of that was one of the lots of students in the town. And I don't know if we developed the playground there, but that was kind of the idea.
Well, that's actually why I asked the town, you know, if there can be any type of an impact fee assigned to conditions, because I know there's people in town that are upset that there would be a park built with town money in their mind, in their eyes, for the people of the Mayfield Estate to enjoy. And so, I'm just wondering if there are like any type of stipulations that go along with conditions or, I mean, you can't just say, well, if you live over here, your impact fee is going to be more. But I just would like to look at all ways of creating, you know, the fairness as we can to not upset anybody in town.
You can't change in the middle of the negotiation.
That's true.
It's already been negotiated, so I think we're stuck with it. If it turns out to be bad, we're stuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they said it's talking about substance, not just about technical issues. And I guess all we can do is encourage the developers, and they really stress that the developer ought to work with the neighbors, right? And that's the goal. If these are your primary responsibilities, that's when we will probably have a compliance with the whole community in town hall. How the planning commission operates.
Oh.
That's probably something we're not doing.
Yeah.
And usually, our meetings with the people here in Mayfield have been pretty decent. But it did give some ideas about how to deal with a hostile group of people. One is to listen. Two is to remind everybody that loud and angry doesn't mean you're right. Three is to listen. Four is to gather information and a good five is to listen. And six, you don't have to debate them. Just listen. And you don't have to try to mediate between the developer and the people or between two people having an argument. You can set up rules for the meeting of how long people talk. In this case, it is only fair that the developer gets more time than the individual person. And then we talked about the permitted uses of conditions. They sort of said that with to get approval, the first meeting, you listen to the citizens, you make a list of questions and concerns. The second meeting, the developer addresses those concerns. The third meeting, the town addresses the concerns. And then you need to start all over and do it again. The job of the commission is to negotiate and approve permits. The planning and zoning commissioner, which is me, signs the permit that you approve, as well as just the permitted use permit, things that you follow and things called the minor problems. And you can have alternate authorization to bring an item to all the material and zoning and involved and everything. And that's for me. Any questions? Yes, good question.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder if we could see our responsibility to the
neighbor send an email to Amanda and she can send it to everybody.
Okay,
great.
I'll send it.
I just don't know. But I ought to be off the committee of two. Before gone. Yeah. Study that's about the future of the community. I am just concerned about BPL agreement remaining an attractive place for it, a good place for it. Not a perfect, but a good place for it. I don't want to see anything happen with it right now. So.
Anyone else
have anything
you
want
to say
before
out there?
The more people, the more
rules. Has anybody talked at all about this supposed development going in the Southfield? Has that been brought up at all?
The council
touched
base on it, but it didn't
really
advertise. But other
than that,
I don't think there's
anything. I don't think there's anything to be
funded.
I mean, it's outside
the
city limits, from what I understand, so.
Yeah. That is so good. Actually, it's right out of the
buses,
though, too,
so. It's really all in the county.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that there are concerns about much well water being pumped out of the ground. And so with.
Yeah, my opinion is that they try to get well permits here through the town status for the
I thought to
the legal wind,
I talked to my dad about it and he said that Jonathan Irrigation comes to the protest as well. If there's a lot of groundwater that comes up in the creek bottom that goes down to them and that they use and so they would protest over that too.
I just said
irrigation company has a meeting with Lucas Chamberlain, who puts Lucas and said, we're out there today, but we're going to make sure that we're on front footing, because we are made a stand in our minutes and so forth, that we cannot answer our surface water here.
Mm-hmm.
Because it brings up all kinds of questions.
Right.
Does that mean that we have to turn more water down the creek? And we've got that water line for that well is just kind of indeterminate to me. As to where it's almost a magnet well, but it's to me it's a manufactured water line. And so we want to make sure that we're on legal ground.
Mm-hmm.
But those things are going to rear their head all the time. The state made that policy a long ago that you don't need to drill the well if you don't have an existing well from there. That you have to obtain surface water and transfer that to groundwater. And I don't know if they've had that tested in court or not. Mm-hmm. Do you know that?
I don't know how you just send water right down into the aquifer.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like we talked about 5,000 probably is going to make any difference. But in 50 years, so that's 100,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who did?
Yeah. Well, I'd be more concerned about 30 houses.
Well,
those are the areas where Mentor's going to go. That's right, it's right near town. First of all, it's pretty well filled out. Down by the creek is the place on it, the problem. That part of town is that. Mark Hawkins and Master's Field, that's a logical place.
Yeah. The South Field is not part of the town, okay? Why, historically, did it set up that way?
Well, it's way down. It's not just right up by town.
Clear out the bridges in the area.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear out there that we're talking about. So, Mayfield was, a little pioneer town, and we had the farms around the edge of it, and so
is that something that might be a benefit for the town in the future?
It could only then we have a responsibility to print some letters and all these other stuff. It could be. Over all the subdivisions and the
benefit
of the but it's kind of a problem.
I can understand why it was never done originally, because in final, I'm just wondering if there were 300 homes that were going to go there.
Yeah. Before we quit, I'll give a shout out to Mary. I've worked with a lot of different office managers, and what I do is here in real estate.
He did his work, I know that.
Mayfield is really lucky to have him.
Yeah.
I'll
check on that.
Yeah.
And keep things good.
I'm about to wrap it up.
You know, with the Wasatch Front, their plans on and their growth, and the problems that they have with pollution and land use and all of other things, that they just fill the valley up with junk, pretty much.
Yeah.
And with the trend in the computers and how you can work from home, the major about having pressure for growth are all over, or something. We've got some things here we'll be dealing with for some time. But, yeah.
There's not a competition. When I was at the very conference, they explained about what they're going to do with the point of the mountain.
Yeah.
For the bridge, and it's unbelievable what they have to do. Public transportation, you can be anywhere within the area for 15 minutes without being in a car. Tons of technology type business.
I want to even start showing up to me and put even more pressure on us down here.
People are well educated. And employed and all can live in these communities and not make a very big impact on it.
My own opinion, I don't know if you can deny them.
occupancy, but they could not improve from within the improvement to it.
But what did happen is if they come to get a zoning permit, if they don't have the 20,000 square feet, then they don't get a zoning permit.
Yeah.
They can't get a zoning permit without the zoning permit. Mm-hmm. That part, the building department would have put
it. Yeah.
So that's to prevent any new structure.
Well, I understand that.
The old ones are non-conforming lots of something, and the lot would be too small for any of the trees in the same use. Yeah.
Because there was a previous lot before the order, then it was what's called a non-conforming lot.
Yeah.
No deal with that. That one was behind Northern East Forest, the jail and the big deal there. You know, I don't know if that's big enough area wise. It's too narrow, right? I think it's about 7 feet.
But I understand the size of the law.
Yeah. The county health department, the bank, says that in certain areas of Mayfield, and I'm not sure what's like down there, but where I'm at, the type of soil leach is very swollen,
yeah.
So they require larger area for a house. They won't even issue a permit for anything under 20,000 square feet, where I know.
So that little lot is presented by Steve. Mm-hmm. It's basically unbuildable. It's 10,000 square feet. It was done before the ordinance went in, so that it's okay that way. It doesn't have enough square footage to put in a spring field. So they can't get a permit from the Department of Health.
No. What was frustrating me was they were trying to sell it, and I should have probably gotten involved a little earlier, but it's sold to Albert Park. So probably, I think, $15,000. I think they wanted 18, I think we negotiated to 15. So now all of a sudden we've got a buyer, the original buyer, probably bought it for $5,000 when they were selling 30, 40 years ago. And so he made a good profit, and now I've got stuck with a $15,000 buy over. And that's what I was trying to figure out is, if I could write letters to the real estate people and say, okay, this is what's happened. You cannot sell property in Mayfield, social property, that's split off of anything without a permit. I'd like to propose that to council in fact in order to say, hey, we've got too much of this that's happened.
Yeah. Well, didn't we discuss earlier in another meeting that we were thinking about maybe looking into not being able to sell property without water. We talked about water and that shares the water.
I don't think there's ever any motion on it.
Is that something that you might want to do? A lot of you along the Zabutia said that
because they'll require water to get a building permit. They require secondary water, and those are people down there screaming at them because they won't issue a building permit to make it a building permit until the people come and say, okay, we're going to have to put this water. So they just have a hard stand because it's hard to do that. I'm not going to see all the way to that. And yet, water, I understand that water is a commodity that a person owns, but they can be moved around and sold, and then you have some benefits to be able to buy it, but it's also, you know, there are a lot of things that don't have it.
And then you think, well, it's like you talked about on this website. then you take away my right to ever build on my land.
If the irrigation company shuttered the water or bought and sold without question, somebody bought it, they can sell the water off their lot. We don't, because that's the nature of water in the irrigation company. It's just, you know, it's stock. It's like any other stock. You can buy it and sell it, and it's worth whatever the traffic will allow. And so we don't set the price. And when somebody comes with a certificate for a half a share of water, and it goes, we cancel that, cancel the name, the number of the certificate, and we reissue it. We don't say, where are you going to put this water? How are you going to use it? It's just water that's in the system. We do have some limitations on pipe size and so forth, and we want to allow a certain amount of water in those, on those beyond water was originally built for.
Yeah. So that's something that
it is a cost.
Oh, you don't create that within the town ordinance. It has to be in conjunction with the local relationship with the irrigation company that kind of gradually brings that back to where we got. Jonathan City, I think they have privatized or city owned.
The city owns a lot of water.
Well, I think they.
Yeah. Oh, they're in there, and I'm not sure how they legally did it. They just went in a eminent domain and said, you will give us your water shares.
Yeah.
And so they accumulated however many water shares. I know that one because my father-in-law was really angry over it.
Yeah.
Well, another thing
that I start, I don't think that's even possible in that field.
It's a bit tricky. There's a lot of people, not me, but there's some people that spend a lot of money on water.
Oh.
They can water as much as they want. And
yeah.
They wouldn't be too happy if we did something like that, would they?
Well, the other thing too, the town's been no careful about it. Water is the only source of revenue.
Yeah.
And so we need people to use water to go make money. And so it's kind of, you keep yourself on the foot and you try to, you know, but yet,
I did.
But,
yeah.
So, anyway, that's another discussion. But my only concern is that we're trying to figure out how to deal with these lots that get sold off. And,
you know, I and whoever takes my place under the, can solve the problem with the lots I want to deal with. But if there's some three meters, you know, sell one new boy, half of your lot in that, you're going to record it. I have. There's no way they can know him yet.
Yeah.
And that's the reason we got with that lead, Christians, and over, that's 110,000 Main Street. But, of course, that's the little house south of the nursery world corner.
Mm.
When they were having a foreclosure sale on it, because the guy that had the loan with the bank was Robert Thornton. He sold it to Terrence Mortensen, who was a flipper on contract. Terrence Mortensen worked on a little bit of work in it, turned it up and sold it to Jerry Cox on a contract. So Jerry Cox paid Terrence Mortensen, paid Robert Thornton, and Robert Thornton paid the loan on the bank. So, I don't know how they were able to like, get that one packed out. But some place over the course of that time, the lot which was about, I think it was about 6,100 total, had got split in half, so each half was about 3,100. And so when I seen that with two lots on it, I called up the attorney and said, I said, Tony, what am I? I said, we've got a problem with that piece of property being too long. It's too legal restriction. I said, because I said, I checked, and that was a favorite case, and when we passed the ordinance with a minimum size of 20,000 square feet. So I said,
according to this ordinance code and that ordinance code, and I told him, so I called him the numbers in our ordinance. I said, those lots are non-lots. They're not even non-conforming. I said, so you didn't understand, and you didn't make an announcement in your foreclosure sale that if a person buys those, they can't do anything with them. They can't get a building permit, they can't get anything. So it's as big as a non-entity lot. And I said, so whatever you got to do. And so then Derek Swanson called me up and he said, well, they were split when I bought it. And I said, you have the opportunity now to get them combined into one piece. He said, you're working the proposal which can be just a title back. I said, I'm not an official letter to the town, but this is the ordinance number, this is the description, and it must be put back in the same property, or it will become a non-conforming lot. And so that we were covered, so if somebody bought two parcels out there and come to grant them, I want to permit, I got this lot, he can say, sorry, we notified the previous owner that this was illegal. And it's that way. So you can't do anything with it. It's nothing. So in the case of both little lots up by me, that street has a whole bunch of little 10,000 square foot lots. Luckily, the only one that's not safely owned is the Bud Franklin right next to me in Albert Park lot. All of the rest have been purchased by Carl and Dave Kay on both sides of that little lane down there. So it was a good case there, whatever they choose to do down there, they can choose to do, but we don't have to recognize any of those lots. So I'm going to write a bill to that letter and say, look, you need to understand that this is the minimum, like, and Carl was on wheel with three lots there, but technically he's going to combine those because he's styled a property line. And there's a place there that you can't build it. You can't put a building on two lots. Some place up there, there's a hole in the ground. There's too many rules and regulations. But so anyway,
well, the lot that's on the building lot was that's non-compliant.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, did you build on it? Because of when bought it, when it was made a lot?
Yeah.
So you can't get a house to get it on.
Well, and I worked on it quite a bit there. I mean, say on plot plans that was keeping, giving decided on it. One thing we need to do is figure out which zone we're using. I think we're only using about 1550, aren't we? Well, that one that's got 15 feet on each side.
No, right now we're not. We never made that change.
Then the other one is 8 and 12.
We're still working on 8 and 12. We thought we got things on that, but we never got. That's what we talked earlier.
I want to go out too. Okay. Yeah. We need to enter the
data to look at where we'll go.
So. We want that too, right? That's what I want. I think the other
thing is what I want. And that allows for the multi-family. No, that's not allowed.
Oh.
And that's the two.
But. But I say you need to build an actual front house if you stagger it because of the lot available. But when I was in that, he came back with a square house, and that, I think, barely put it in the minimum for the backyard. But then when the county said you got to have 20,000 square feet versus 10, it basically made it unbuildable. So. And you could do it with a two-story and get to get a bigger house, but He wanted to put on a base with it, but he wanted to put a concrete slab, but then it would be on the floor, so then about 2,000
feet. If I follow you, you got that lot up there, you got that lot that goes to the floor. Who shot that lot?
J.L. and Vicki Larson.
Oh, I see.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
About three. Yeah. There
were
two different lots.
So, are they going to try to deal on that, or they just bought for speculation? I guess it's not like this.
I think they just bought for speculation.
The Lord was going to go through the business, but
Tom told me. Defined and talked about, so that's the honor.
Well, I'm not seems to.
Yeah.
The state changes stuff on the
all the time. Earth. Yeah.
So we can change our own ordinances. You know, because we don't feel like one of them is correct, we can change that too. So, if you know, go through the right method, it's just until and if you need the prayer to not like this one, you're not the other, that's going to be in the mood for the truth.
So, that's what it ought to be. We ought to get that.
And there's hope you already said, this is the problem. And if we put it out, put it on public record with the news media, and we're going to test whatever we do, because we know of, and say, before you can sell any product in the country, you have to verify that the sale is legal, that the condition is legal.
From the size of the lot, you need to.
And then you're going to figure out what to do with those that sold off within the last 10 years.
Yeah.
So that's where it's more like Robin Holly. They're all doing the same.
I don't think that's come along with it.
I
think when I send this generic letter out, I'm not naming names or anything, but I think it's going to raise some questions, and we may get some people that want to come in and fight the battle. And, you know, I have. All I'm going to say is, you know, if you can see them doing this for a long, we'll talk about it. So, I think it's going to take a little hard to answer and say, no more, or else we're going to get. The one I feel bad about is right out of the park. We bought a piece of property. And so, the one thing that I probably would have to counsel is trying to realign some of our addresses. You know, we have an issue out on 400 East that we start out with just Devin Christian, and he's in my 89 south, and then we go across the street 50. 150 feet down the Amanda's, and she's 246.
Yeah.
And then Gerald's 264, and I'm 306, and I'm not any north than 200 south. Somehow, years ago, I was put back from Garfield, writing things that way. And then the Christian put the road, starts out as if it was 200 left, if the highway was 200 left, and goes 200 plus down the Christian put the road, and go to the state, and they started the state highway is on one of our main streets. So
my house is all 50 west.
Yeah, and if you go to where Melanie lives, she's 220. Well, no, Elaine's 220. Melanie, and you're going down to the solar place at 400 west, and you're going down the west of the subway. We went, we're broke down a little bit at a time. So, anyway.
Is there any way for the rest of you to do one of these books? Do you have any of those books available?
They're available.
We can purchase
them on Amazon.
They have to be.
The closest to the box.
Unfortunately,
they were good.
They were
part of our.
Yeah, we got them at a conference.
Thank you.
We can purchase them
at about $20. Yes, yes. Yes, yes. Yes, yes. Yes,
yes. Yes, yes. Yes, yes. Yes,
He was very well. You know, they'll actually become a, I don't think they actually handle a legal case, but they'll give you the advice to go what the rules are, and they'll also do that for us on our side. So, it's a great resource. I know about that. So, to me, that's That's a good book. If somebody else wants to take one, I can take money, I can move it to the other. So.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry I missed the whole thing. I knew it was going to be good.
Well, if I'm talking to the guy, I will send out an email.
Okay, great.
This is the best technicality we need for the motion for the
business. Okay. You don't need to call for that? Okay, I think it's time to go. Appreciate everybody being here. Thank you. Motion to adjourn.
Awesome.
I'll make a motion. Okay, I've got a motion for a second. Okay, all favor.
I don't know. Instead of doing an app that wouldn't go on the TV. So if you've done it on the browser,
it'll go to TV. Okay. Is there a little one that's on the way? Up to get on the network with TRD? Because go into the Zoom app and then type in the address for the conference.
Oh!
So it's a matter of where you're connected, where you're not connected.
Right!
Did you tell him you first started going all your days?
No.
That's not first from that.